Cool. How are you? Dr. Zelenko?
Yeah, hi, how are you?
Hi, good, good, thank you. How are you keeping on?
I'm doing well, thank God.
Excellent, thank you very much. Right, the reason I wanted to speak with you and I'm in touch with you in the last couple of weeks is not necessarily about health or about your amazing protocols and the things you've put forward in order to help others, and you did help, so it seems, to thousands, if not tens of thousands or millions of people around the world with your saving life protocol. And the reason I ask you to join me for this broadcast is actually your take or your angle about the spiritual war we are in. And the reason for that is because there's not many professionals, i.e. doctors or other professionals, who take this angle and speak about it so freely like you have. And on top of that, you're also a believing Jewish man, which gives it another, I would say, another force or emphasis to where you're coming from. I know some of your remarks regarding this period and the government of Israel, or those who are doing what they're doing against humanity and against men and women of God. Can you please elaborate on that? What is going on the spiritual side of things?
So first, here's my disclaimer. I'm not God's accountant, which means I can't know why God does what he does.
Of course.
I could have my theories, I could analyze the facts and come to some ideas, and that I could share with you. What I believe is going on now is nothing new. You know the saying, "Ein chidush tachas ha-shemesh." There's nothing new under the sun. I think it's a continuation of a biblical and historical narrative or war that humanity has been involved in since the very moment of creation. And that war is founded upon the fact that we have human consciousness and free choice. And because God does not make us believe in God and allows us to discover him or not on our own and at our own pace. So we have this ability to rebel against God. You see, if I would give you a $100 bill and a dollar bill, and I ask you to choose, that's not really a choice. So only when two things are somewhat equal that the element of choice comes in. So what God has done is he's allowed for or created forces of evil, forces of darkness that actually oppose divinity, and then puts the person in the middle between good and evil and allows us to choose which direction we're going to go to. So if we just recently read the story about Cain and Abel, and that's a very interesting story. And the way it goes is like this. They both brought a korban to Hashem, a sacrifice, and Hashem took Hebel's but not Cain's. And Cain got upset. He got depressed. So God came to him and said, "Why are you depressed? Improve yourself," meaning take personal responsibility for your situation, be honest with yourself, be introspective, improve yourself, and I will accept your korban also. What did he do? He killed his brother. That's history in a nutshell, because it's much easier to destroy the entity that is making you appear or reveals your inadequacies, rather than to look inside and take personal responsibility for your problems and grow from there. It's much easier to blame others. Now, that has manifested itself on many levels throughout history. And if we get back to today, really what we're seeing is the conflict of two belief systems, a collision of two diametrically opposed ways of looking at life, which cannot coexist. The first way is that we're made in the image of God. That means if we're made in his image, that means our lives have value, have sanctity. If that's the case, that means we have human rights.
Yes.
If we have human rights, then it's not for me or you or anyone else to decide how many of us belong on the planet and how long we should live. Mm. That's God's department. So that's one way of looking at life. There's another way. There's the Darwin's evolutionary survival of the fittest mentality.
Theory.
Or his nephew, Galton, who developed the ideas of eugenics, which basically states that there's a hierarchy in human genetics or in human beings. And those at the top, those that have the best genetics or the most survivability advantage, and that gives them the right to decide, let's say, who lives or who dies. That system always results in three types of people. The Übermensch, the superhuman. Kant called him the Superman. The Mensch, the human. And the Untermensch, the subhuman. Sound familiar? Because just 80 years ago, the Nazis, Yimach Shemai, actually used this system to justify the crimes against humanity and resulted in the death of 200 million people worldwide, 6 million of our people. Now, what do they think? They believe that they were descendants of Nordic gods, the Aryans. Had a divine place in the human hierarchy, and that gave them the right to enslave the humans, which were the Anglo-Saxons, the Europeans, and to destroy, basically gas and burn into dust and vapor, subhumans like you and me, or the Slavs or the handicapped or political prisoners or gypsies, you know. So that system inevitably results in mass murder, genocide, these types of crimes. So after the Nazis lost, that system did not go away. It just went to sleep. And now it's come back. And it's come back, interestingly enough, not in an anti-Semitic way, but in a very different way. The Übermensch, the Superman, is this generation's intellectual elite who believe that they live on a higher level of consciousness, that they understand reality better. For example, in 2015, the sociopath Bill Gates, in a TED lecture, said that the world population needs to be reduced by 15% because of global warming. It's a billion people, through the use of vaccines, by the way.
Yes.
Now, what kind of sociopath would come and make a statement like that? Who, in their right mind, would feel comfortable saying that the world population needs to be reduced by a billion people? Only someone who believes that they're God, or that they're on a plane of existence that is godlike. It's like Paro. It's no different, like in the Chumash. And they feel entitled and empowered to dictate to the rest of us how many of us belong on the planet, how long we live. And if you follow the rest of their agenda, are we allowed to own even property? Can we eat meat? Can we use fossil fuels? In other words, they're totalitarian, tyrannical, evil agenda is to enslave a large portion of humanity, the part that survives what they're doing now. So basically, there's a collision of two systems. There's the God-centered system, where we acknowledge that There is a creator. Happy birthday. He creates us. Bria Yeshmi Ayin. Creation ex nihilo every second, every nanosecond.
Yes.
And therefore, it's a proof that he wills us to be, that he wants us to be. Because if he didn't, we'd disappear. Versus the tyrannical system based on, let's say, a hierarchy in humanity. Now, let me tell you how the side of evil, the tactics that they use in order to enslave people. So I think it's important. If you studied psychological warfare, then you'll understand that there are two very fundamental principles. If you induce fear, anxiety in someone over time, and you isolate them from the people they love, 99% of the people will lose their minds. They will become so entrapped in their own fear and anxiety and pain that they will do anything to reduce that pain. Anything. So if I come along after 6 months of torturing someone and say, here's your golden calf of the COVID-19 vaccine, even intellectual, smart people could put aside their minds and take it on the belief because it makes them feel less anxious. If I then confront that person and say, can you tell me why you took it, or didn't you see the data or look at the reality? They get very angry with me because I'm bringing them back into the anxiety state that they so deathly don't want to be in. So the key here is fear. The real pandemic here is the use of fear to take the consciousness of humanity away from the divine and cause a codependency, a cult-like codependency on tyrannical oligarchs, corrupt governments, and the golden calf of the vaccine.
And these methods, again, it's being perpetrated against us, men and women of God. These methods have been used for many, many years. I mean, you mentioned the 8 years ago, the Holocaust or the Second World War, but it goes way back. I mean, it's not just, or let me rephrase it. Is it against humanity, or is it first and foremost against the people of Israel and then the rest of humanity? And by the way, we have now listeners and viewers from all over the world, just so you know, from many countries, they write here. So again, I'll ask it, is it just against, or is it against the whole world, or first against the people of Israel and then against the world? According to the way you see the reality now, the picture now.
I think the rest of the world treats the Jews the way the Jews treat themselves.
It's a good answer, I must say.
And let me explain to you. In this generation, the target is all of humanity. We're all Jews from that perspective, mm-hmm. in terms of being targets of tyranny and genocide. Now, Israel, let's talk about what it means to be a Jew. It's a hot topic, but yeah, we're a chosen people, it's true. But chosen for what? It's not a statement of arrogance.
Yes.
It's a statement of obligation and responsibility to the world. Our job is to bring the knowledge of the Creator into the creation. Our job is to illuminate the world, the whole world, so all people could bask in the glory of the monotheism and the one true God.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings order, light, and love into the world. If the Jew doesn't do that, the exact opposite happens. So what do you expect of the rest of the world if we are failing in our job and instead of increasing light, we're increasing darkness? Why would I say that? If you look at the current Israeli government, what they've allowed to be done is, and these are the words of the Pfizer CEO, not my words,
mm-hmm.
that Israel was turned into the biggest laboratory in the world. And well, even though I despise Pfizer, don't get me wrong,
sure.
but ultimately it's the Israeli government that let them do it to their own people. It's the secret deals that were signed that enabled the Israeli public to be brutalized. Now, after World War II, there were laws passed, international laws, that human experimentation on human beings is against the Geneva Convention without informed consent and the use of coercion. In other words, if someone wants to be part of an experiment and they understand the risks, that's their choice.
Sure.
However, to create a system now where you need a passport to work or to live, to go shopping,
or to breathe,
it's a tool of coercion. And the lies that are being told to the Israeli public about the quote-unquote safety of these vaccines is absolutely horrific. So that is called coercion. That is called forcing someone. Now, you know, most people can't lose their livelihood. Most people cannot just uproot their social life, their family life, their work, their schools. So the government knows very well that this psychological pressure will manipulate people to take this vaccine, which is experimental. Now, how does the Israeli public feel now?
But hang on, it's supposedly experimental because I can assume that Pfizer, they know what's in the injection.
Yeah,
go on, sorry.
No, that's of course, we'll get to that, but even look, it takes usually 10 years to bring a vaccine to market, and it takes that long because it takes that long to figure out the safety and efficacy. You know, is it safe and does it work? These vaccines went from design to human use in 9 months. Okay, so there's no way that it was possible to rule out certain side effects. And the main concern here is something called antibody-dependent enhancement, which we'll get into in a minute. But I was trying to ask a question. The Israeli public, the majority of the Israeli public has at least two shots, right? And they had a green passport. Now, all of a sudden, your government says the following. If you only have two, you're not vaccinated. And you need a third or a fourth or whatever. How stupid do you have to be to continue to trust such a government? And what makes you think they're going to stop at three or four? So what's going to turn into is basically every year you're going to need one or two of these vaccines in order to continue to live. And not because you need these vaccines because of health, because you don't. Because the facts show that COVID-19 is extremely manageable, that the reality is that the vaccines don't work. You know, Israel, Gibraltar, and Seychelles, three of the most vaccinated countries in the world, are experiencing the worst outbreaks of Delta variant.
Yes.
So what makes you think taking a third or fourth shot of the same thing that didn't work to protect you is going to help? On the contrary, the data is showing that it's the vaccinated people that are forcing their emergence, due to evolutionary pressure, emergence of more virulent, dangerous strains. So it doesn't even work. And if you get into the safety profiles, it's absolutely horrific.
Some objections. First, it's not a vaccine. It's an injection with probably poisons inside it. Maybe there's some good things inside, but they come with extra poisons. And we don't know exactly which jab has which poison in it, and who got placebo, if there is any, and who got something in it. We do know that, and again, it's my assumption, but we do know that the government of Israel would like to kick out of Israel the Hebrew Negroes or the Jewish or the Hebrew people from Dimona, which coming from Africa, they would like to kick them out from Israel because this is a control group. I mean, they try to impose these injections on everyone, and this group of people, very sane, clever people, they do not want to take these injections, as well as other injections as well, or vaccines, which we'll get to it a bit later. And they would like to push them away from Israel. So we do not see a control group which got no vaccines at all, no Pfizer or Moderna or AstraZeneca injections, COVID-19 injections at all. So they kind of push them away now from Israel, which is similar to the Amish community, if you like. And they by itself, by themselves, they are a control group without even trying to create a control group. Just their existence is a control group, a sane control group to the madness that is going on in the rest of us, with the rest of population.
Let me answer you. First of all, vaccine is a legal term. Yes. Whenever something is labeled a vaccine, they get special protection from being sued, the drug companies, the manufacturer. So every vaccine company wants their product to be called a vaccine because then it gives them indemnification from being sued if something went wrong.
True.
So, but I define vaccines that help people and vaccines that kill people.
All right.
See, we grew up, language is very important. We grew up thinking vaccine means protection from bad things, that it gives you life. In some cases, that's true. In some cases, it's not true. For example, the COVID-19 vaccines have killed more people than they've helped. A study came out last week from Taiwan. They've reported more deaths from vaccine-related injuries than from COVID-19. So I would call the COVID-19 vaccines as poison death shots, because that's exactly what they do, because they cause blood clots, they cause myocarditis, heart inflammation, miscarriages, cause increases in autoimmune diseases and cancers. The spike proteins gather in the ovaries and probably cause infertility. And that all that is nothing compared to the potential of genocide that world experts are screaming. And for what? For a disease that's, let's focus in on kids.
Please.
Children, because most decent human beings want the best for their children. I think that in normal societies, decent societies, every parent wants the best for their children. They want their children to have a better life than they had, on every level, spiritually, materially. That's normal. In pagan societies, they sacrifice the children for the benefit of the adults. So, and if you look at animals, the nature of animals is to protect their children. Like, I wouldn't touch a bear cub in the presence of his mother, because he gets torn apart. So my plea to the Israeli public is, please behave at least like animals. Because what you're doing is the exact opposite of that. What you're doing is true child sacrifice. Let me explain why. That children, let's define 18 and under, healthy children have a 99.998% chance of recovery from COVID with no treatment. That's according to the CDC. Those aren't numbers. Dr. Michael Yidin, who was the head or vice president of allergy and immunology for Pfizer, a big division, told me personally that for every one child that dies naturally from COVID, because remember, 99.998% is not 100%.
Yes.
So for every one child that would die from COVID, 100 die from the vaccine. Meaning that the vaccine is 100 times more lethal to a child than the actual COVID virus.
Mm-hmm.
That's called child sacrifice. In other words, you are sacrificing your children for not health reasons. You're going to say to protect grandmother. Well, first of all, if you're such a believer in the vaccine and grandma took the vaccine, she should be protected, right? Why are you vaccinating the children?
Of course.
So the reality here is these vaccines have nothing to do with health. they serve another agenda.
I have to confront you here with something. What I sense, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is some sort of a cognitive dissonance, and I'll explain. And please, if you can answer that, I think that would be really helpful, first and foremost for me, and probably also for the viewers and listeners. The same companies who are now producing what they are calling COVID-19 vaccines, all right, whether it's Moderna, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, and what have you, all these companies. And we know that they are doing something bad, to say the least. They have been manufacturing for many years now, decades, what they are called vaccines for other illnesses or diseases, whether they be for children or for adults, knowing, given we read the literature, that each vaccine has disadvantages and these disadvantages, and it holds only for 5 years or 8 years, etc. Why? I'm asking you, but it's also to myself and to all those who listen to this interview, to this talk. Why would you trust them with measles and what have you, polio and other diseases, and not trust them with COVID? This is one question. The second part of this question, knowing that at least some of these companies, if not the majority of them, coming out of the companies of Nazi Germany, why should I trust them anyway, even with a little pill, with anything they manufacture? Why should I trust them?
So I'm not an expert in... so it's hard for me to discuss different other vaccines. I could tell you that I am reevaluating my approach to vaccines in general.
Thank you very much.
And that's simply because as new information comes out and my understanding of things come out, my practice patterns change. So I definitely am looking and re-examining my beliefs about or viewpoints about certain vaccines. However, I still look at each vaccine separately and evaluate the risk versus benefit analysis for each one. I don't group them as a category because that's not intelligent, because they're all different. And obviously, I'll give you an example. In 2012, I was working in a community, 35,000 people. We had 2,000 cases of mumps. And it was just going out of control. And no one knew what to do. And it was getting worse and worse and worse. And the health department came in, and we gave all the kids an MMR booster. And the mumps epidemic went away within a week. I saw this. Okay. It's my clinical experience. Mm-hmm. Same thing happened with 2 years ago with measles. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to get into the debate whether MMR causes autism or not. It probably does, actually. But the point is, under certain situations, you take the risk because the benefit may be worth it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting into a car and going to work is also risky. But you think the benefit of making a living and being able to buy bread for your children is worth the risk of dying in a car crash. So you make that choice. We all make risk versus benefit analysis. But I can tell you, plus, I've never seen, thank God, smallpox. And I've never seen polio, although I have a few patients that had polio as children and are crippled. But there are certain vaccines that seems to me, clinically, that are very effective. But there are certain vaccines that are completely immoral and absolutely evil. And I'll COVID-19 is a good example of it. And there's another one, the HPV vaccine.
Yes, papilloma, yeah.
Which, while I do believe that cervical cancer is a concern, but ultimately, HPV is a sexually transmitted disease. And depending on who the child is, you know, of course, there's always a risk, but parents know their children and they know the way they raise their children. So, for example, my children are being raised in a certain way. And of course, I don't know 100%, but since I'm involved in their lives, I'm pretty confident that my daughters are not engaging in premarital sex. And so I'm not worried that they're going to get HPV.
Yes.
So I'm not letting them get the HPV vaccine. Now, if someone has a child that is sleeping with 20 people a day, maybe it's a good idea. I don't know. But then the risk versus benefit analysis is different. In my particular case, I feel as the parent of a certain child, I don't want them to have it. That's one. And also my opinion, the flu shot completely changed. Complete waste of time. It's completely unnecessary, and I can develop their rationale. But what I'm trying to tell you is that I'm not anti-vax, I'm anti-stupid. And so, and maybe my opinions, if we talk in a year, will be different about other things as well. But this is where I am, you know. I'm very open to absorb new information. And for example, I have cancer, unfortunately, and I was a very allopathic doctor who, you know, believed in the biomedical model, also the spiritual dimension. But when I saw what was done with COVID-19 treatments that were natural or generic or cheap or homeopathic, let's say, and that really worked and they were being suppressed, I realized the same thing must be true with cancer. That the same companies that make cancer drugs are most likely suppressing other treatment modalities. And so for that reason, I opened my eyes and started looking at alternative treatments as well, or things that I can use in synergy. You know, it's not either or. You could, and even though I found that in oncology, if you use certain drugs in synergy with natural approaches, you can reduce the dose of the oncological drugs and you have less side effects. So again, it's an art. Medicine is an art. It takes deductive reasoning and analytical thought to look through each detail carefully and decide whether or not it has merit and when it has merit. But I want to get back to COVID-19 because I really think that's the problem today. And the vaccines are killing more people with actual disease. So the response to it, the response to COVID-19 has devastated humanity and actually devastated the state of Israel. And there's, unfortunately, and I hope I'm wrong, unfortunately, the Israeli public is at extreme risk for a lot of people dying unnecessarily in the upcoming year or two because of antibody-dependent enhancement. And I really need to explain this idea because people, if they understand it, could take steps, rational approach to save their lives. So there's a practical reason. It's not to scare people, but it's to empower people with even over-the-counter approaches that could mitigate or reduce the risk of what may be coming. And what I'm saying is not my words. These are words based on world experts. For example, Dr. Robert Malone, who invented the mRNA vaccines,
sure,
told me personally, told internationally, that these vaccines are dangerous. They should not be taken. The government is lying to you.
Yeah.
He got deplatformed from every platform for saying that. The guy's the inventor of the vaccine. Or, like I told you before, Dr. Yidden said that it's 100 times more lethal to kids, the vaccines, than COVID-19.
Yeah.
Or Dr. Luc Montagnier, who won Nobel Prize in Medicine in 2008 for discovering HIV, said this is the biggest risk of genocide in the history of humanity. So what are they all worried about? So if you look through the history of vaccine development, in the 1960s, the RSV vaccine, respiratory syncytial virus vaccine, which affects kids. RSV affects kids. The vaccine that was developed killed more kids than the virus. And once they figured out why, it was that the vaccine produced antibodies that were lethal. And when those antibodies came into contact with a challenge with the actual virus, they resulted in a catastrophic immune reaction called antibody-dependent enhancement that killed the child. In the 1970s, same thing happened with the vaccine for the dengue fever virus. It killed more adults than the virus. Same thing, antibody-dependent enhancement. It was the antibodies that were produced were bombs. When they came into contact with the virus, it destroyed, it killed the adult. And historically, every single attempt to make a coronavirus vaccine, and there have been multiple attempts for decades, have resulted in antibody-dependent enhancement in the animals that they were used on. And many, many, a large percentage of the animals died.
Died, yes.
So here's my question. We've just developed a new technology vaccine for coronavirus, or with COVID, and it was brought to use, to human use, without excluding the potential for antibody-dependent enhancement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, wouldn't it be a good idea to rule that out before you give it to people? If you look at the sociopath Bill Gates, in 2020, he said that 7 billion people need to be, Dr. Gates, need to be vaccinated. Really? The same sociopath in 2015 said the world population needs to be reduced by a billion people, 15%, by the use of vaccines. So why would I take a vaccine for my health with someone like who's pushing that? Are you insane? So it has nothing to do, literally has nothing to do with helping people. It's designed, it's a weapon of eugenics. This ties into our original spiritual dimension to this, is that the tool that's being used to reduce the world population and enslave, make infertile and enslave the rest of the population is this vaccine. You know, I'm a conspiracy realist, not
same
a theorist.
Here. Same here.
Realist, not a theorist.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
It's not a, if it's true, it's not a theory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Noah in the Bible, you could say was a conspiracy theorist, and then it started raining, and he was no longer a theorist, right? So
really.
If 18 months ago, I would have told you that COVID-19 is an artificially made bioweapon, which I did, by the way, I was called a conspiracy theorist.
Theory.
Now I can tell you things like this. 1999, Ralph Baric, Dr. Ralph Baric at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, took a bat coronavirus and modified a surface protein on that virus and made it now be able to infect human beings. But that wasn't lethal. The virus still didn't kill. In 2015, the same Dr. Baric and Dr. Zhang from Wuhan, together, sponsored by the NIH, I'll show you the papers, were able to take this virus and augment its payload that it destroys human lung tissue and causes blood clots. And they have, and we have patents for all these things. There's a patent trail. Dr. David Martin talked about it. We know the patent numbers for each of these modifications and this technology.
Yes.
And it is so obvious, not even the liberal media dares to deny that this is an artificially made bioweapon. So that's not a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah.
There is a conspiracy to commit genocide.
It's not even a conspiracy anymore because it's out in the open. I mean, if right. Bill Gates in 2015 saying, if the vaccine program will succeed, we will be able to reduce 15% of the population. He's actually saying that vaccines, well, that's the plan. We would like to reduce the population through vaccines. Now,
I just want to say something. The nature of evil is very interesting. They don't hide. Hitler wrote Mein Kampf when he was in prison. decade before he came into power. He laid out what his plans were clearly. Now there's another sociopath. His name is Klaus Schwab. He's the head of the World Economic Forum. In 2016, in an interview in French, I have it. He said that within 10 years, by 2026, every human being will be tagged with a digital identifier internally. Now, how are they going to do that? Let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you this patent in a minute. In August 31st of this year, 2021, there was a patent, United States patent, approved for a technology that was developed in Israel by two Israeli scientists that describes technology that exists in the vaccine already, allows for the measurement of internal physiological data, let's say your temperature, mm-hmm. your heart rate, and then transmit that data with your location to a third party.
Yes.
Now, before you call me crazy, I'll give you the patent number. Let's see if I can do it now. Tell me if you lose me. Can you still see?
Yeah, now I lost you. Yes, well, you need to admit, this is interesting, and I have a couple of more interesting questions to Dr. Zelenko, Vladimir. I'm just writing to him that I lost him. I don't know if you can hear me, Vladimir. I just lost you. And it's still here. Ricky, no, the vaccine is not an Israeli.
Show.
Yes.
Can you see me now?
Yes. Can you? Yes. Excellent.
Can you hear me?
Yes. I can hear you and see you. Yeah. I can hear you and see you. Can you hear me and see me?
No. Let me go back in, okay?
One second. Refresh, yes. So, Ricky, no, the vaccine is not an Israeli invention, although we can be surprised and find out that it is. But the technology inside the vaccine is an Israeli invention, which allows to track your body from the inside and transmit it to a third party.
Can you see me now or hear me?
Yes, we can hear you and see you. Yes.
Sorry for that technical thing, but I really felt it's important that you...
Sure.
Now, this patent, it's like... If you look through the application, it's very hard. It's 50 pages of high-level engineering on a nano scale. But if you put your due diligence in, you'll see that this describes technology that's already in the vaccine that measures internal data and then transmits that data with your location to a third party. So... You can draw your own conclusions. Now, if you say I'm crazy, this and that, without looking into this patent, then you're just an idiot. But if you want to look into it and then challenge my understanding of what it is, that's something else. We can have a debate. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not wrong. I've spoken to high-level experts, and this is exactly what exists in this vaccine. So why is it there?
I want, like a good Jew, I will answer with a question. not that you asked me to answer, but still, there's another question I would like to present, which is not far from the subjects we're already discussing now. Is it possible? I mean, I'm asking you as a doctor and as a learned man with great knowledge. Is it possible that since many years, humanity have taken a wrong turn along the way, and on this wrong path, all right, we've been misled to false theories, fake medicines, false narratives about who we are, our purpose in this life, what is life, what is reality, who is God, what is our purpose regarding nature and all of existence, and how we should, how we should tolerate or not those who try to control us. Now, I ask this in the context of, all right, we can speak about the vaccine or the injection of whatever company who is putting it out for us, for our health. But given the evil that is behind this agenda, is it possible that now it's easier to see that we have taken a wrong turn? But is it possible that this wrong turn happened many, many, many years ago, and we now have to go back to the source in order to find the right path?
Yeah, well, it happened thousands of years ago with the beginning of Odazara. And that, I believe what's going on now is like the end game of creation. You know, in chess, you have the opening, mm-hmm. the mid game, and the end game. I think we're in the end game of creation. And I think here's the question. It's a test. I think God is testing every human being.
I agree.
And here's the question. Who are you going to bow down to? Are you going to worship me, your creator? Are you going to take your fears and ask me for strength and fortitude, perseverance, inspiration, protection? Because I will. I make you. Or are you going to allow fear to take you away from me and bow down to sociopathic oligarchs, corrupt governments, and the golden calf of the vaccine? Because if you do that, well, let's let them take care of you. Let's see how that works out for you. So I believe that God has had enough of idol worship, paganism, child sacrifice, human sacrifice. And I think he is giving each human being the opportunity to use their free choice. And what's happening is humanity is dividing itself into two groups. There's small Iri Miklat, small cities of refuge of divine consciousness, mm-hmm. and continents of tyranny in the Bodhisattva. I think that there is now a self-selection process. See, no one is forcing you ultimately to walk into an execution chamber, roll up your arm, mm-hmm. ask to be injected with poison. You say thank you with a smile and leave and go die. No one is making you do that. You are choosing to do that.
Yes.
Now, you may have to lose your job, and you may have to lose your position in school or not go to a concert. And things may become uncomfortable for you. I understand that. But still, you have a value structure. You're making judgments on what's worth it. In my opinion, the preservation of life and fertility is the highest thing that a person should value. And if you need to sacrifice certain things in the present so that you can have a future, you should do that. Mm-hmm. Don't sacrifice your future so that you can have conveniences in the present. So you still have a choice. And in reality, the only reason why evil has such power right now is because we're letting it. Because if there is a civil disobedience on a large scale, what are they going to do? Fire everyone? Expel everyone? Imprison everyone? So, you know, by the Nazis, one guard could put hundreds, thousands of Jews into a gas chamber.
Yes.
Why? Why didn't they just turn around and trample him? Okay, he had a machine gun, but how many bullets did he have? Maybe the inner circle would die, but the rest wouldn't. So why? The answer is they were so demoralized. They were so broken. The psychological warfare was so effective that fear and isolation completely destroyed their resolve and will to resist. So right now, I think the Israeli public, the world, humanity in general, has to rise up in an organized fashion through disobedience. And some people will have to sacrifice themselves, actually. I mean, I don't want anyone to die, but if I have to, if my life is, if I fall in this battle, this is a battle worthy of falling for. This is a hill that I'm willing to die on, because I want to make sure that my children and your children have freedom, have life, have fertility.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's at stake here. It's a war against God, ultimately. The war against God consciousness. And the first thing that forces of evil do is try to get God out of the picture, because they know that if I bow down to God, I'm not going to bow down to them. It's very simple. That's why all tyrannical movements always try to vilify and push out religion, because it's the religion that empowers psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually people to resist. And so you have to, they try to get rid of the source of the strength of the people.
Thank you. People are asking for a link to this patent, or even links to other patents. Are you able to send them now so I can put them here in the chat so people can press on the link and go there, or you send it afterwards?
So I actually have, I have it. How do I send it to you?
Maybe send it through Telegram now, and I can share.
I'll probably have to come back in, okay?
But all right, yes. It's important. Do it, and so I can share it. Excellent. What a great man. You know, I really wanted to ask him about vaccines, which he said admirably, I think, is reevaluating his opinions, which I think is really, really puts him in a good place, because he's honest about it. There it is. I'm going to send you now. Copy link. Here is the link to the patents. All right. I'm going to open it myself. Maybe I share a screen. Hang on, where is he? You coming back. And another link. Oh, many links. Many links are coming now. Copy ready. Copy link. Yes, I'm just sharing them.
I sent you three. You got three?
Yes. I was just sharing them.
There's more. Yeah. Those are the three I had available on my fingertips.
Yeah, that's fine. That's, for example, one of them. Methods and systems of prioritizing treatments, vaccinations, testing, and all activities while protecting the privacy of individuals. Right? This is one of them. The second one is, we'll see it in a second, this one, which you that's the one you referred to, right? Before, when you mentioned the Israeli patent, I think. Cryptocurrency system using body activity.
The Israeli one is the first one you read.
The first one, all right. This is the putting us together with the digital currency or whatever. And the third one,
by the way, that patent is owned by Microsoft.
Yes. It's so, you know, it's sad and funny at the same time. Share screen. And that's the third one, just to show this to the audience. And again, I put them in the chat. Two mutations were critical for bat-to-human transmission of Middle East Respiratory Syndrome coronavirus. Thank you very much. I'll stop that now. Right. First of all, I would like to say thank you for everything, just your honesty, your modesty. And obviously wish you good health. And you got a lot of comments, but also good vibes from people wishing you good health. So just so you know, you are loved and you are appreciated, and your work and your the way you put yourself forward is really admirable. So thank you very, very much for that, Vladimir, Dr. Zelenko. Thank really from the bottom of my heart. Thank you very much. Maybe one last thing. You know, we know that the best defense is offense. And it seems like humanity in general and the people of certain countries like Israel, Canada, Australia, and some others, obviously UK states, etc., they're really under attack and they went into a defense mode. What's the best way to take this defense mode and turn it into offense?
We have to hunt the hunters.
I love this question. So this is a call for all the hunters. Wake up and start to do your job, because many people are waiting for you to do your job. And maybe it's similar to the Holocaust, the Second World War. This is what people have done until the army forces or the corporations who started this war decided to finish this war. But during this time, many people, individuals, were hunting the Nazis. So you actually saying it's time for the hunters to raise their head and do their part?
It's time to bring the war to the enemy. It could be done non-violently through civil disobedience, organized disobedience. And basically, you need to form your own societies within a society where you do, homeschooling, for example. You know, yeah. What's the big deal? Get together like-minded parents who prefer their children not get poisoned, yes. And create your own schools, for example. Do business yes. with yourselves. Eventually, basically, you need to create, you have to separate yourself from the forces of evil. You know, in the Garden of Eden, there was evil. How do we know? Well, there was a tree of knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. However, before the sin, the good and the evil were separate. The first sin of the Marishim caused a mixing of good and evil, and that went inside the person. So we all walk around as a complex entity of really two diametrically opposed forces. And you could see that in the world also. And it's been very confusing where good is and where evil is until yes. this generation. Now, in some perverse way, the world is like turning into Garden of Eden from the perspective of the separation of good and bad. I have no doubt where the bad is. You just have to listen to whoever's increasing fear. Listen to your media or whatever, and just whoever is creating panic is a force of evil, is a tool and an instrument of this other. And whoever is trying to focus humanity, anxiety lives in the psychological space where God is absent.
Yes.
But since he's making you every second, he's not absent. He's with you all the time. So you're never alone. If you're never alone, you don't need to be worried. So that's the challenge. It takes a lot of work, by the way, to live in that type of frame of mind. But it's not natural. Yes. But that's the real war. Don't you understand? Yes. That is the war. And I think that there's a Navi that says, Ruach Atuma Avir Min Ha'aretz. The spirit of iniquity will be removed from the land.
Yes.
Let me tell you a story with my kids. I know it's only my children, but they make a mess with their toys. And I would tell them, clean up. They don't listen, whatever. So I said, listen, in 10 minutes, I'm going to come back with a broom. Anything that's on the floor is going in the garbage.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, they come back, they're taking out all the toys that they want. And what was left on the floor was only the garbage. Hmm. I took the broom and I cleaned it up. It was much easier to take away the garbage
after differentiating it. Yeah.
When it's separate, so you don't, throw out the baby with the bathwater. You don't throw out the valuable with the dreck. And I think, honestly, I think that that's what's going on. The Drek is this mentality, this exile slave mentality that leads to idol worship and child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's self-selecting itself into one direction. And the only reason that death exists spiritually is that Hashem tells you, God says that let's exile the couple from Gan Eden. Why? Because they may eat from the tree of life and live forever.
Hmm.
So the question is, well, they were supposed to live forever anyway. So let them do tshuva, repent, and live forever. The answer is like this, that since the bad went inside them, if they would eat from the tree of life, the bad would live forever also.
Yeah.
So God said, get out, go work, extricate the bad out of you, and once there's no more bad inside you, bilam avos lenetzach, death will go away. The whole purpose of death is so that the evil should not live forever. By extricating and destroying, removing the evil, you bring the end of death closer.
Mm-hmm.
So, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe said, that the world will be redeemed through acts of goodness and kindness. Every positive act of love pushes away the forces of iniquity and leads to a redemptive event. I believe we're on the verge of a complete cataclysmic change in human consciousness, where the whole world will be filled with the knowledge of God. And we're in that process now of the good being extricated from the bad, and we're very close to the end, restoring the Gan Eden pre-sin state, which would then usher in the redemption period. I like to begin and end with the spiritual dimension to it. I really do feel that ultimately it's in the hands of each individual to determine the outcome of their own fate and the fate of their communities, their country, and the world.
So hang on, because one question was here, and it kind of, you know, tick in my brain as well. What's your take on that? Given we have the free will, and given this is all within God's plan for us and for this existence, given some people, a lot of people in Israel, but also in other countries as well, have taken these injections already, these lethal injections or poisonous injections, is it part of God's plan? Have they made their choice according to their free will? I mean,
I appreciate you asking that question, because I forgot to bring this up. There is a way out.
Great.
Which is the following. If you understand what the concern is of antibody-dependent enhancement, so then you understand that you have a bomb inside you if you took the vaccine. Now, just because you have a bomb doesn't mean it has to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Usually a bomb has a detonator.
Yeah.
Something that triggers it. Now, if you understand what the trigger is, then you could stay away from it.
And the trigger is?
First thing is, don't make more bombs.
Yes.
That's useful. In other words, don't take any more shots. Do tshuva. In other words, God has, listen, no one's perfect. Believe me, I know that. And I know one thing, God is very forgiving. And he allows for a mechanism to exist where we could return to him.
Yes.
And just because someone made a mistake, that's okay. But don't repeat it. And now let's talk about a strategy to get out of it. I don't know how long these bombs are going to last in a person. It's mm-hmm. too soon to tell. Some antibodies last a lifetime. Some go away over time. I don't know yet how the vaccine-induced antibodies will behave, because it's too early. But at least for the next few years, let's assume that you're going to have the bombs in. And so you need, what triggers the bomb is another viral infection that your antibodies identify and see an attack. Mm-hmm. So if you have a match between a virus and antibody that's designed against it, that was vaccine induced and is COVID-19 induced, so then you have the setup for an explosion. So the key is not to get another viral infection. So you can say, well, how do you do that? So my work has, not only my work, but the work of others as well, has discovered there are antiviral prophylactic approaches mm-hmm. that prevent or reduce the risk of getting viral infections. And that's basically, we didn't go into the mechanism of this because that wasn't the focus, but basically if you took something like a zinc ionophore, either hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin, those are prescription, that's the problem. Mm-hmm. And in Israel, you can't get them. But there's also over-the-counter options of quercetin and EGCG. These are, quercetin is a derivative, it's a bioflavonoid, it's a derivative of fruits. It comes in apple peels. And EGCG is a green tea extract.
Yeah.
Both as natural as you can get. But what they do, one of the things they do is they allow for zinc to go inside the cell.
Yes.
And that's very important because it's the zinc that prevents the virus from making copies of itself. All the strains of COVID.
Right.
All the strains of influenza. And I just discovered RSV also. So you have a natural bullet.
Mm-hmm.
You just need a gun to deliver the bullet into the right place. So zinc supplementation, vitamin D3 is extremely important in general for preventive health. It optimizes your immune system. So, and vitamin C as well. So basically my protocols for prevention, are you there? Yeah. My protocols, they all use vitamin C, D, and zinc. And then depends on the model of gun you have, maybe a Tavor or M16 or a 22 caliber pistol. But the idea is to get the zinc into the cell in the right concentration. That's extremely important. You can go to my website. I have all the protocols for free.
Yeah, I published your protocols a few times by now. Don't worry, I will do it again. I'm just thinking, you know, you speak about the antibodies syndrome, let's say. But actually, we haven't touched on, which is fine. I'm just asking for your opinion about it, because we hear about graphene oxide. We hear about all this synthetic biology, Hydra vulgaris, and all these weird parasites, which I don't know if how much from it is true or not. I do know that the agenda, the driving force behind this fake demic and the evil behind it is really capable and have been busy in developing all sorts of weird and nasty weapons against us. So what to do with that? I mean, does vitamin C or D3 help against those weapons? Because this is like high-tech stuff. This is science fiction stuff. It's not just a virus or a normal parasite or some sort of a germ, or a fungus, or a worm. This is like synthetic biology. This is high-tech stuff to connect us to the internet with the 5G, 6G, and all this lot. I mean, how should we relate to that? Because it's not just pure biology anymore. You know what I mean?
First of all, don't take it.
All right.
Then you, you avoid all those questions. I don't have the answer for everything. I can tell you in the first 3 months, a big issue is blood clots, as you know.
Yes.
So one of the tactics for that, if someone wants to, the problem is most people don't regret taking the vaccine until later, but unless they're dead. So from the second that you get vaccinated, for around 3 months, you should take aspirin or
aspirin. Yes.
Take some blood thinners, NAC. So that you reduce the risk of blood clots. But the main issue is the longer term side effect of antibody dependent enhancement, which is really putting humanity at risk. I mean, according to some estimates, we're looking at billions of dead. So, and what I suggested was against that. I don't know yet how to reduce the risk of cancer and autoimmune diseases and infertility. Maybe we'll develop more technology as time goes, but right now I'm focusing on the potential risk that's coming in the next year or two. So that's the immediate concern. So we can deal with blood clots by preventing them, and we could mitigate the risk of antibody-dependent enhancement. I could say reasonably confidently that you could do that. Also, if God forbid you do get sick, because nothing's 100%, you have to start like antiviral treatment in the right dosing on day one. Don't let the immune system reaction happen. And if you do that, you can let the medications do the job and not the immune system. That's exactly what we do with strep throat. Strep throat causes rheumatic heart disease, but because the antibodies against strep throat destroy the hearts of children. So that's why everyone in the world gets antibiotics for strep throat, because we don't want the immune reaction. We don't want the body to make the antibodies, because then you can have rheumatic fever. So we let the antibiotic do the job. So this is the same idea, that we don't want your immune reaction with artificial antibodies because of the concern of antibody-dependent enhancement. And we are seeing it already, by the way. It's not a joke. And there's a study that came out of Vietnam 2 weeks ago that people that are vaccinated and get COVID are carrying 251 times the amount of virus when compared to unvaccinated people that get COVID. That means that the vaccinated group are getting much sicker because they have more virus, and they're the ones spreading it.
Yes. Yes. Yes, I saw this research, by the way. It did come out 2 weeks ago or so.
The most important thing, and the easiest way to, the best illness is the one that never happens, is public awareness about the risks and dangers and staying away from destructive policies and recommendations. Your Ministry of Health is a ministry of death. Naftali Bennett, in my opinion, is a monster, because when he came out and said everyone needs to get vaccinated right away because the expiration date of the vaccines is happening, 18,000 children in one day were unnecessarily poisoned. And Bibi Netanyahu, who had the information to end this pandemic and delivered to him in April of 2020, was my protocol, was hand delivered to him, and then ordered 4 million pills of hydroxychloroquine from Prime Minister Modi from India, and actually got to Israel and sat in a warehouse and was never used because he made a secret deal with Pfizer that sold out his country, is a Gilgal of Mengele.
And is it true that the one of the states in India have given very few vaccines, but given to all the population ivermectin pills, and there's no COVID over there? Have you heard about it?
Yeah, I heard. Again, it's so hard to know what's true. Yes.
I agree.
But I do know people on the ground over there, and they're saying that in certain districts, they're doing exceptionally well. Look, there's no doubt there are dozens of studies that show early intervention with antiviral drugs in high-risk population reduced death by 85%. I mean, that's accepted, that's a medical fact. And that is being hidden from the world because what it does is it takes away the weapon of fear. You see, if you knew this and you can take prophylactic, even over-the-counter options, then you don't have to give in to the fear. You don't have to isolate yourself. You can reject, say no, and just move on with your life. That weakens their weapon. It's a weapon against their weapon.
Do you know what is MMS? No. All right.
What is it?
It's basically a chemical compound. I think it's hydrochloroxine, just in a different form or different name. I'm not sure about it. That's why I wanted to know from you if you know about MMS. Have you heard about Jim Humble? He discovered MMS and he cured hundreds of thousands of cases of malaria with MMS. And obviously the Red Cross didn't want to know about it. But you haven't heard about MMS. MMS. That was the name at least, 20 years ago, like Miracle Mineral Solution or something like that. Jim Humble, you should read about it because this does quite a good job in clearing parasites in general from the body. Not all of them, but majority of them. Basically, as far as I know, it enriches the blood with oxygen and creates an alkaline environment. And after 15, 20 minutes running through the blood circulation, it turns into salt and gets out from the urine. You can call it chlorine dioxide or sodium chloride.
Okay, I mean, I'm familiar with chlorine dioxide. There's a lot of...
controversy.
No, there's a lot of potential candidates that could be very helpful. I can only comment on what I really have a lot of experience with and what my colleagues...
Sure.
Look, I consult with the world experts in practical management of COVID, not theory and games, academic games that people play in the lab, but people that have to deal with life and death issues on a day-to-day basis. And we're trying to figure out the best approach to keep people alive. And we all help each other, and we get battlefield data before the academics will know, for years. So that's not been something, chlorine dioxide, for example, that the majority of the people that I work with use, but we do use NAC, colchicine, Luvox, monoclonal antibodies, so vitamin D, zinc, vitamin C, so on the zinc ionophores, certain antibiotics, steroids for sure. So we have tools, and the most important thing is to custom tailor the treatment to the patient. Mm-hmm. And not use a cookie cutter approach, because every human being is different. Every person's history is different. Every person's clinical presentation is different. That's the art of medicine, to be able to use your judgment to kind of come up with the best strategy for this patient and maybe a different strategy for another patient. But what doesn't change is the following: early intervention, especially in high-risk patients. That's the key.
Look, it's funny, the more we go on, I have more things to ask.
I have five minutes.
Fair enough. Yeah, I wanted to say one last question, because it's really important, by the way, especially given now that they are putting out, since 2020, they're putting out this MIS/C, which is a multi-inflammation syndrome in children. Have you heard about it? You know what I'm talking about?
I do.
All right. So... actually, if you look at the FDA presentation and on the Pfizer side effects, it says that one of the side effects of the injection is exactly this. I mean, multi-inflammation syndrome in children. Now, actually, they're now blaming it, even now in Israel, on the coronavirus. So it's called. Now, one of the things I would like to ask regarding that, but in general, about shedding. I mean, the process of shedding is A, it's unclear. B, if a mom or a dad have taken this injection and their child got sick from something, how does it work here? Do you know something about shedding? I mean, this is...
I do. Shedding is not really a problem for most people, but it is a problem for some people. First of all, when we say shedding, we're not talking about the live virus. We're talking about specifically spike proteins. When a person gets injected with these poison death shots, what happens is that their entire body becomes a spike protein producing factory.
Yes.
It's these spikes that are causing the blood clots.
Right.
Now, since we see that by end of three months, the problem with blood clots goes down, it's not really an issue after 3 months. We can reasonably conclude, I don't have the absolute data, but I could tell you that most likely the amount of spike protein in the person has gone down, at least to a threshold that it's not enough to cause blood clots. So everything is about dose related concentration of spike. Now, the spike protein, since it goes into every cell of your body, so it's in the skin, it's in the breath, it's in body fluids. So within the first 3 months, and obviously day one or the first month, let's say, is much more shedding than, but in the first 3 months is when a person who's vaccinated is actively shedding. So you're not going to get COVID from
shedding.
But since these spikes are dangerous and they cause blood clots, so there are two populations that have to be very careful. One is there are conditions that cause blood clots. There are hypercoagulable syndromes where people are predisposed to making blood clots. So in that population, I wouldn't want to give them something to trigger blood clots.
Mm-hmm.
And the other population is pregnant women.
Right.
Because the placenta is attached to the, through very thin blood vessels to the uterus, and those vessels are can clot easily and lead to miscarriages, and that's what we've seen.
Yes.
So, again, the best thing is not to become a shedder. But
you're saying basically shedding will should go down 3 months after the injection? I mean, the risk of shedding will go down basically after 3 months.
That's my understanding, yes.
Sure. All right. Dr. Zelenko, Vladimir, my brother, wow, thank you so much. I think the audience here really appreciated it. This interview is running now on Telegram and Facebook and Twitter and elsewhere, but you're used to it, so it's fine. Wish you best of health. And may all your wishes come true, and may we win this battle against evil.
We will win. We're on the verge of that. Just we need more people to rise up with courage.
Excellent. Thank you for your kind words and your great wisdom. Best of health. God bless us all. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All the best.